Okay. Okay, we're going to start. So tonight, the goal of what we have is, we call this class the Impactful Seder, first time ever given. But the idea behind it is to get us to have an impact on other people, in our families, whoever's going to be sitting at our Seder. And a lot of these people are going to be less religious, or they've been through this 1,000 times, and it didn't really have major impact on them. So we want to go through a few different ideas of what we're going to do to show how we're going to have impact on people. You may not be leading your Seder, you might be leading your Seder, either way, but we're going to try to give you ideas of what you can actually put together so people can actually appreciate the experience. So I want to go over some of the things that we're going to be doing, what our goals are at the Seder itself. And these goals will hopefully give you a framework as to why it's important, the whole idea of the Seder itself. So goal number one we're looking at is the whole purpose of the Seder is really to teach Emunah, to instill Emunah into other people, and to ensure that people have a sense that they really want to be able to have a deeper sense of connection to Hashem. So our goal number one is really Emunah. Next thing is, from Emunah, aside from just having Emunah in Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's an emunah of what we call a personal belief, a personal faith that you want to be able to have, a faith within yourself. This is actually, we're going to see a piece from Tzadok on that, of how we're going to give this over. But we have emunah, which is in Hashem, emunah, which is within ourselves. From that, we're also going to develop a concept called compassion. We're going to see it at the Seder. For those of you that are online, some of you can mute yourself, whoever's there, unmuted. I just can't reach it. So emunah, personal emunah, belief within yourself, compassion, appreciation for Yiddishkeit, for Judaism, and the opportunity to create questions for other people to think and expand themselves. So this is really our framework of what we're working on. Emunah, which is different levels of emunah, compassion and appreciation for Judaism, creating questions. So the first thing I have for you is, and again, if you're here, so that means you get actually take-home material. So what I have in front of me over here are two sets of cards. Okay, I got pink and blue cards over here. They are going to be two different projects that we're going to try to do at the Seder. And I'm going to hand out for you sheets that are going to represent one of these cards. So the first thing we're going to do over here is we have to recognize that whoever's at the Seder, they're here for a reason. Okay, we need to know why you're here. What brought you here in the first place? So we can figure out how we're actually going to guide that person to the Seder itself. Now, there's always going to be somebody at the Seder that is going to be what we call, quote unquote, the Rasha, who is not going to be interested at all in anything you have to say. They just want to get to the meal and let's move on with it. We're not interested in beyond. Okay, and that is not going to be the person you're going to try to teach Emunah to. It's not going to be the person you're going to try to teach many other things to. And that's what it is. And that's why Rav Chaim Kanievsky says when it comes to teaching over to the four sons, that the response that you have to the Russia is the response you have to the Talmud, is what it is, or Shenu De'Elisho, is that you're speaking as the Russia on the side. You're not speaking directly to the Russia because you're not going to be able to get anything through to them, but rather you're going to be speaking to the Russia while he's on the side and focus your energies in somebody else. So the first stage that we have is we're all here for a reason. Once we're all here, let's figure out what we're doing with this evening. What are we doing with it? So what I put together over here is a set of cards, okay? And people can choose some of these cards. There may be some are duplicates, some are not. But for example, I'm gonna say, okay, guys, I'll lay this out on the table and say, so why are you at the Seder? What brings you here at the Seder? So I have here different examples. You see, I'm actually going to give this out to you, so we can look through these, and those of you online. Actually, these are actually stickers. So these are sticker sheets, so that if you wanted, you'll be able to peel these off yourself and actually put them on your own index cards, so that you can actually do it like with them. So for those of you online, if you need, then we can somehow get you those stickers. I can send you the sheet that we have for the actual stickers itself. But here's the sheet itself. And what I did in my case over here is I put these on index cards. And I put these on index cards so people can actually choose. So why are you here at the Seder? So you see some of them. people. I'm here for family, for people. I'm here for good food. It sounded interesting because it's fun and enjoyable. Maybe I was dragged here. Maybe I was drugged here. Okay? Maybe because I love matzah. I love dipping into salt water. I love tradition. I want to build my faith, my emunah. I want to be a link in the chain from the past to the future. Okay? I want afikoman. I want presents. I want to drink the four cups. I want to eat charoset. These are different things. These are important questions you're actually asking the people. And this may work for some of you. It may not necessarily work for some of you. But the idea behind it is that the key is you're asking questions. And the idea of asking questions is ultimately an opportunity you have to get people to expand themselves. When you can start thinking of questions, then people aren't going to just simply run amok with their Seder and get upset or just start talking about the Lakers or anything else that's involved in their lives. Rather, they can actually be focused. So why are you here? It's a great question to ask people. For some people, they'll have even better answers they're giving you. But once you have this, you can actually guide them to other things. And it's going to be for the sake of winning. Oh, family. That's great. I'm so glad you're here for family, because family is super important. You know, it's super important that we're here together. We so much appreciate you. We have so much together within our lives. Oh, I also love fun and enjoyable. Oh, it sounds interesting. Or you had FOMO. You heard other people are coming, so you wanted to come as well. You can always piggyback off of each one of these things. But again, our goal is really going to be an emunah-based experience that we have. And we're going to see some of the ways that we're going to do this. But by starting with this, you're letting people know that, in fact, I want you here, but I want you to know why you're actually here. Don't just show up because you're here, but actually do something to figure it out. So let them start thinking about what is. And when they see the other options that are available, they may actually say, I thought I was coming for the food, but maybe I'd like to connect to my roots. Oh, maybe it's because of tradition, but I really love matzah. Or maybe I'd like to be drugged and get over here. That's why I only put two stickers of drugged over here. but the idea behind it is to get them to start talking. Pesach, you have to understand, is a renewal of life. This is an important point that we're going to try to make over here. And this is something you could share over to people. It's a time of renewing your life, spiritual and physically. It's a time that's element of freedom. And for many of us, it's either because intense cleaning is a sense of renewal. Maybe it's a hotel experience. It's a different pace of what we had from the past. So it requires us to have some sort of alteration in our lives. And it's getting people to think about this within their lives, that we're trying to just alter our thought conscious right now. So you're going to decide how you're going to give this model over. But the idea behind it is that we want to be able to sense renewal for ourselves. The next stage with that, you say, is, you know what? I think Pesach or Passover, however you're saying it, we're part of something much bigger. Much bigger. We're beyond time. Because Pesach is going to be link we have from generation to generation. If you're at a Seder, that means you are a Seder, and there have been hundreds or thousands of Sederim that are there before you, and you're not connecting every single year from one to the other. So we're connecting this all the way back to the Sinai experience, all the way back to the Egypt experience, and we're going to be that link to the future. So I shared this with people once, is that you imagine yourself, take your classic superhero movie, and in your classic superhero movie, the train is about to go off the tracks because some bomb hit it and whatever. And then what do you need? Now someone needs to actually go ahead and make a makeshift track. So, of course, whether it's Superman or whoever it is, he flies in place, lies down, and the train is able to go over him because he's now created that link. He created the connection. Ultimately, when you're sitting at your Seder, that's what you're doing. You are actually the next superhero connecting this chain. So just by being at a Seder, you've already done something dramatic. You've done something remarkable, and that's connecting one generation to the next. You're connecting the past to the future. So something for us to think about, even if a person doesn't really care that much, but they cleaned, and they schlepped, and they cooked, and they did all these things, you know what? It's an amazing thing. Why? Because you're a bridge. You're a bridge to this entire experience that happened before. We're going to focus a little bit on emunah. But before we even focus on emunah, for many people, it's hard for them to focus on emunah and belief in Hashem, in the trust, bitachon Hashem, that Hashem saved them. Many people just don't have belief today. They don't even know what they're actually supposed to believe. So before you're going to build that level of emunah in people, you might want to build the level of compassion in people. What does that mean, the level of compassion? So the Maharal explains that the word Pesach itself, based. If you look on Unklus, the Aramaic of what it actually is all about, Unklus will tell you that the word Pesach translated as Chayas, Chet Yud Samach, Chayas means compassion or mercy. That means because of what we did in Mitzrayim, because of the fact that we slaughtered the sheep and we spread the blood on the doorposts, Hashem had compassion upon us. So what it means, according to the Maharal, is when we say Pesach is passed over, what it means is that Hashem had compassion upon us to save us. So here's the guiding question that we want to present to other people. We want to be able to present the idea that throughout our lives, whether we understand it fully or not, God has compassion upon us. And in turn, we need to develop that compassion to others. So here's a guiding question. You haven't even started the Seder yet, but you're just presenting people with this idea. Compassion is such an important aspect of our lives. And here's a question I'm going to give you. And the question is, where do I see God's compassion in my life? Or the question I'm giving everybody else is, where do you see God's compassion within your life? Where do you have the experiences where you've actually felt the compassion of Hashem in your life? And from that, you go to the next stage, which is, in what area do you think you could increase your compassion towards others? Okay? This is our first stage. So, what we want to be able to express over here is we want to get people to understand the elements of right now is that life is about compassion. It's about feeling the compassion you have from Hashem, and it's about giving that compassion to other people. There are going to be people at your Seder that are embittered, that are broken from who knows what. Maybe they want to be there. Maybe they don't want to be there. Maybe they're just like, get on with this. But if you present to them the element of compassion and you show them what it's like, you know, and you can say, you know what, I can tell you, let me give you a story where I felt compassion from God upon me. Different incidents in my life, but I felt this tremendous level of compassion. And now you can say, where can you give that compassion to others? And maybe you have someone who's having a difficult time or is not so religious or not so religiously inclined, and you can say, you know what, I noticed that you are a tremendously compassionate person. I see the way that you're able to give things over to other people and the way you treat people. It's an unbelievable experience I see. That, you know what that means? It means you're acting like God. Wow, unbelievable that you are a God-like person acting this way. You've now introduced to them the element of compassion, and that they have the same components that Hashem does for us. As we said, the whole idea of Pesach over here is not simply to pass over, is Hashem's compassion upon us, as the way the Unklus actually translates it. Okay, so this is another aspect as to how we're going to get people involved. For many people, they need to have an emotional experience. They have to see that this is going to be relevant to them, that it matters to them, that this is not just a time that we're just going to eat and like do some shtick and have 10 makos and things like that. It's going to have to be something that's super relevant. They really care about the whole experience. They're going to walk away and be like, wow, this is like, this Judaism thing is real. It's something that I can really actually sink my teeth into. I didn't understand how much compassion was involved in the Seder and everything that Hashem actually did for us. Another aspect, which is a simple point, is just describing the element of unity. Okay? The element of unity actually exists, that people can come together for a Seder, and sometimes it's like that uncle, that aunt that you don't really want to speak to, but you see them once a year, and you just describe the element, the fact that we're all together. That's an easy, it's low-hanging fruit that you have, that you can share with them this particular aspect. I have another thing that I want to show you, but before I get to that, we want to get to the understanding about each of the elements of Geula, redemption. A lot of the Seder is going to be focused on redemption, slavery, redemption. You can go ahead and explain all the different words that you have on slavery and redemption, that matzah represents two aspects. There's the matzah before the meal, which represents slavery. There's the matzah after the meal, which represents freedom, or during the meal and beyond represents freedom. They say that's why the Vilna Gaon didn't actually worry about finishing Hallel after Chatzos, because of the fact that the second half of Hallel was not about the past, was actually about the future. So all things are related to the past, you're not going to finish by Chatzos. All things related to the future, you don't have to worry about Chatzos. So the whole Seder is split into two. So many things are split into two. You have first two sets of wine, last two sets of wine, matzah before, matzah after, challah before, challah after, because the first half is about slavery, second half is about redemption. And with that, it's just a guiding post. You're able to share to people, don't you realize in your life that some parts of your life were filled with slavery and hardships, and other parts of your life are filled with redemption and freedom? Don't you realize that? So we're going to see in a moment that we're going to give some guiding questions to help them get there. Now, throughout my Seder, I usually try to do a lot of different types of games. This is not a game night here. I'm not showing you the different types of games that I do. But you could, like we have the whatever, Manushtan in 400 languages, that book you can buy. You know, we try to give out to people that they get to read one line of it in some other bizarre language, you know, that maybe like 30 people speak or whatever in the world. That you can do as many different games, headbands games, all these different things you can get that are intriguing for people. So I can give you those, but that's not my goal. My goal is not to make it the funnest Seder. My goal is, right, at least for this class, is an impactful Seder, okay? Fun Seder is we have all the different games. Impactful is now we want to get people to start thinking about many of their different experiences they have. So here's another question we're going to give them. Again, if you can get people to start thinking about questions and presenting questions, then they'll get more involved. If they're just focused on eating, I remember I had a Seder one year where I told the guy, I said, you know, our Seders go long and we don't eat till like, you know, way later in the game. But just, it's like, that's okay. And at about 11 o'clock, he started banging on the table and he started yelling, why are you putting me through prison? I thought this was supposed to be a night of freedom. Why is there no food here? You know, I'm so sorry. I brought him to the kitchen, got him some meatballs, you know, calmed down a little bit. But like, people need to know what's going on. So when I invite people to my Seder, I say, just letting you know, this is the time frame what's going to happen. You're not eating till this time. Take a nap and eat beforehand. So as long as they know what's actually happening. So we want to be able to get guided questions for people, to people to feel fun, and for people to have answers to the whole experience. So this is a famous idea about wine, that drinking wine, the whole idea of drinking wine, to say to the Arba Kosos, why do we have 4 cups of wine? So there's a slow development of freedom that a person actually has. It's not something that happens just like that. Rather, it has to happen over time. We wouldn't be capable of having freedom in the truest sense, if it all happened in one flash. It has to be over a slow process. So we loosen up little by little, drink one cup, let it settle in. Next cup, to be able to appreciate redemption slowly. So you ask this question, can you think of an experience in your life where you had a slow process of redemption? And maybe you saw it happen at the end. Maybe it was like, I don't know, you say like someone who's married, maybe it was your shidduch process. When it wasn't so smooth. Maybe it was, you know, some issue you had at work that eventually worked out. Maybe something else. But you know what? You also went through a geula process. You went through this amazing experience. That's remarkable. So you're getting a piece of what happened to the Jews in Mitzrayim. You're just having it practical in your life. Okay? Or how about this? Looking back at your life, no matter how old you are, what events helped solidify you into the person you are right now. The Jewish people became the nation because of the hardships they went through. What did you go through that made you as great as you are today? Okay, now, you're not going to ask this question to everybody, but it is a question, and you've got to be selective on who you're going to ask this question to, not the person who's sitting depressed and is like, you know, doesn't want to get out of bed, but rather someone who, you know, could share certain things. We're going to see, because the next project that I have for you is not actually where everyone's going to share, because not everybody wants to share. Okay, some people are a little bit are going to be more closed-minded. They don't want to share, not closed-minded. They're not going to be so open to share with other people. So we're going to give you ideas, but these are questions you're going to present to other people. Okay, one other question is that the whole idea of the Korban Pesach as a Korban Todah, as a Thanksgiving offering, is an opportunity for thanks, and you can ask, is there somebody here that'd like to be thankful for something? Or maybe there's somebody in your life you can be thankful for who made you who you are. Maybe it's your third grade teacher, right? Maybe it's somebody else. Can you think of somebody in your life that you actually have gratitude for? Say it, share it right now at the Seder. So you can share with us something that made you into who you are. And maybe you never thanked that person. Maybe you didn't. I remember calling my 10th grade history teacher. I called my 10th grade history teacher to give him a thanks. Because I said to him, I have to let you know, history is my worst subject of all time. I've always hated history, and no matter what I had in history, I always did poorly in history. But you are the only teacher that taught history in the most remarkable way, And because of you, I saw a light of history and I saw the value of history. But before you and after you, I never saw it again. So I called him just to thank him. Now, you're not doing that to say it, but I called him. He was touched. I called him whatever it was, 15 years later. He was touched. When you can think about someone that you have gratitude towards, even if they're not at the Seder there, but it will build that gratitude within you, that's a fantastic thing. And the whole idea of Pesach is about building that gratitude. Okay, so it's another question you're going to ask. So I'm going to give you now, this is a whole other card. This is, again, it's not like I've used these before. They're brand new. And I'm going to show you what this is like. Okay, this is a little bit different than what I gave you before. Before those cards I gave you, you can lay out on the main table and people can actually take a look at them. These are going to have many different approaches to these cards. And the goal over here is you're going to do what's known as pick a card. So I'm going to go like this. I'll have my stack over here like this. I'm going to say, pick a card, any card. Okay? Pick a card. You don't see what they are. They're all blank on the back. Or you're going to pick a card. Now, as I'm going to hand these sheets out, you're going to see what they are. So can you hand these out for me? Okay? Yeah. While we're handing these cards out. So Pesach is because it's a korban, the korban toda. The Pesach is the korban toda. Is the Thanksgiving offering that we have. That we're being thankful. It's a shlamim. It's a peace offering. Is something to be able to recognize. The whole essence of Pesach is this idea of seeing the way that Hashem is actually giving us. We're being grateful to Hashem. So to be grateful to other people is also another aspect of it.
Yeah? No,
I didn't call on Pesach. I did not call on Pesach. I'm just sharing with you why it works. So over here, we're going to do pick a card, any card. Pick a card, any card, as I said, you take these stickers that I just gave you. You get them on your own index cards. And this is an example of a set of index cards. That's obviously a different color than the previous one. On these cards are opportunities that people can have. It's not yet in the world of Emunah. Some of it is. But you'll notice at the top of your page, there are share moments. Okay? So share a moment. If someone pick a card, share a moment. Now, if they don't like that card, put it back in the pile, choose another one. It's fine. Share a moment when you felt compassion within your life. Okay? The goal over here is we're trying to build and trying to help people understand that this relationship that we have with Hashem, this whole Seder experience, is part of this whole thing. You're feeling compassion for people, Hashem is doing the same thing. Share a moment when you felt compassion in your life. Share a moment when you felt cared for. Share a moment when you felt enslaved. Okay, share a moment when you felt afraid. Share a moment when you felt freedom. Share a moment when you felt embittered. Okay, so those are people who are willing to speak. You're welcome to put those on cards where people are who want to speak will take those. Now you have another one, which is also a speaking one. Choose someone on this card over here. Choose someone who's at the table and give them words of praise. Give them words of encouragement. Hey, you're going to make it through my Seder, don't worry. You'll make it through this. Give them words of thanks. Or, the next one under that, tell them why they're important in your life. Or ask them a question about life that has bothered you. Tell me, I've always wondered why God does this. Okay? How about this one? Choose someone and give them a thumbs up and a smile of appreciation. Okay? We've all had some type of board games that we play. You know, you pick a card, you do something. So this is great. You just go over to it and go, right? And you just give them a smile. So that it matters. Again, we're making simple things over here. Choose someone and tell them something amazing about their qualities. Choose someone and tell them how you see them having strong convictions. And then relate this over to the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. Choose someone and tell them why they're needed in this world. By the way, on this previous one, strong convictions. So I saw a beautiful piece, Rav Yaakov Galinsky points out a beautiful idea from the Chazon Ish. And this is a question that I had as well. And I have a Mesias Yisham Chabura that we learn with women. And in this Chabura, the Mesias Yisham says that really the only thing you have to save you from the Yetzirah is what?
Torah study, Torah Tavlin.
It's the only thing that saves you. And you can try anything else, but it's not going to work. Which means that if you went to the doctor, he gives a whole example, you went to the doctor and your leg was hurting, he said, here, take this Band-Aid, put on your neck. It's not going to do anything for me. So what is the only antidote that I have towards the Yetzirah? The only antidote that I actually have is Torah study. So the question was asked, so Rav Yaakov Aginsky says he was going to see the Chazon Ish, and I forgot the name of this Rav who was coming out of the Chazon Ish's office at that moment. Bnei Brak was a small town back then, and he had just opened up the first seminar, a women's learning program. And he asked the Chazon Ish this question. He said, so the Mesiz Hashem says that the only thing you have is Torah study. But what is it that women are supposed to do? They're not required to learn Torah. What are they supposed to do? And the Chazon Ish replied to him, and he said, and I asked this question to somebody else, and they said, it's known, it's quoted from the Vilna Gaon, that the one thing that women have is tznius. If they want to save themselves from the Yetzirah, being tznua is that thing that's actually going to save them. Now, you're not sharing this at the Seder for the non-religious, because that's not going to work. But it's the idea of strong conviction. Says Rav Yaakov Aginsky, how do you see this? Part of the way you see this is that Hashem said to the Jewish people, when you leave Mitzrayim, you're going to get klei kesef, uklei zahav, and what else? Anybody else? You're going to get gold and silver, and you're going to get clothing. And the Jewish people then took that clothing and put it on their children. So why they put it on their children? Put it on their children because of the fact that they couldn't wear that clothing. It wasn't sanua. What did they do? They put it on their kids. It was a bigger size. They put adult clothing on their kids. It was a bigger size. And he says the reason why is because it says in the merit of the women, we were saved from Mitzrayim. The merit of the women. What merit did the women have? Said men didn't have Torah yet, but women had something else, and they had tznius. And because the women were tznua, it's in their merit that we were actually saved from Mitzrayim. And that merit of the Jewish women, that's why everyone says, because they had the one mitzvah that everybody else did not have. They had the mitzvah of tznius, that's actually tznius. That was the strong convictions that the women actually had, that they were able to keep by the fact that they kept levusham, they kept their clothing the same way. That's what ultimately gave the merit. So that's just a side point from the Chazon Ish. So now, you can choose an item now. This obviously takes prep for you. You'd have to have a bag or a box of some items, some shtick items that you put in this bag, you know, maybe kids' toys or whatever it is, and ask someone to pull something out of the bag. Okay? And ask them, what this has to do with Pesach? Or ask them, what this how does this remind you of freedom? How does it remind you of slavery? How does this, choose an item, explain how this is going to connect me to my roots, or something else. Or explain a symbolic Seder food that's your favorite thing. Lastly, on the bottom of the page, we have a couple of things over here, and that is just simply stand up and clap for the head of the Seder. Or stand up and clap for the one who prepared all the food. Okay, it means you pick a card. Someone gets it, they get the card, they get it, they get the clap. You now have an interactive Seder where they actually have appreciation for people. Go and give a high five to someone at the Seder. It'll make them feel good, okay? Or maybe you want to share a goal that you hope to achieve. Or maybe you want to share a prayer for the Jewish people. How amazing is that? You give someone who's not religious, who has no connection, you say, look what the Jewish people are going through in Israel, everywhere else. Can you give us a prayer for them? Okay, maybe give us a prayer for people at the Seder itself. Amazing experience you can actually have over here. So this is the second set of cards that I'm giving you over here. You can put these on index cards. I recommend you put on a different color so people can actually understand this. We'll just go forward over here. A few more ideas. Rav Tzedek HaKohen in Tzidkas HaTzadik in Kuf Nun Dalad presents the idea. I'll read to you in Hebrew explaining it. Kishem Shitzarach Adam Lahamin B'Hashem Yisbarach. In the same way that a person needs to believe in Hashem, Kach Tzarach Achar Kach Lahamin B'Atzmo. In the same way, they need to have belief within themselves. And what does it mean you have to have belief within yourself? It means that Hashem has dealings with him. Hashem cares about that person. And that you're not just sitting and wasting your time that has nothing to do, but rather you make a difference within this world. Rather, one must believe that Hashem delights and revels in doing his will. So this is an aspect that many people struggle with, and that area is that I have belief within myself. I need that belief within myself to really have emunah in Hashem. First, he says you have to have emunah in Hashem. But to truly develop emunah in Hashem is to have a sense of belief within yourselves. And this is a great idea for you to present at the Seder. Not a person who's haughty, but someone else that you can just tell them and say, you know, it's an amazing thing, the value you actually bring to the world. Can you imagine what the world would be without you? Now, Obviously, you have to know who you're actually talking with over here. But this is ultimately what it means, is that every one of us makes a difference. And let people know at the Seder that they make a difference. Whether it's calling on them and just telling them, like, I'm so glad you're here, it makes a difference because they actually feel cared for. If people can actually feel cared for, which we said in the beginning of the Seder, that's something that people say, I want to be able to continue on with this. We want to be able to relate to positivity. Again, we said that there's slavery, we said there's freedom. You want people to be able to relate to positivity in their lives. And they come to a Seder, they don't necessarily know what to do with it. Let them talk about a story that they can see positive elements within their life. If they can't think of it and you know them, tell them, I remember that time you did this, that was amazing. It was an amazing experience. Rav Schwab says on the idea of yachatz, of breaking the middle matzah, the famous idea from Rav Schwab of breaking the middle matzah, he says, the idea of breaking the middle matzah is we always take the bigger half and we save that for Afikoman. Why? Because the first half represents slavery, represents the hardships in life. And the bigger half represents all the goodness we have in life. But you know what? You don't see that till the end. And so for most people, they focus on their broken pieces of their life. They focus on the small, broken pieces. It's not bigger, it's smaller, but that's what they're focused on. And yet, it's all the way at the end. All the way at the end. So you tell a person, I know you've been through so many hardships. I know you've had some difficult experiences. It's clear, we get it. I understand, but don't worry, because the end is going to be much bigger. So you share them this concept over here. I can understand that you've been through some difficulties. Maybe you don't feel God within your life. But then, and there might have been spurts where you actually see Hashem within your life. Maybe, but nonetheless, you should know, you should see. Everyone goes through hardships, but there's always a bigger piece at the end. Always a bigger piece at the end. I heard once, I saw it in two places, but the most recent one I think I saw was Rabbi Shlomo Einhorn said over, he said that maybe this is why, I believe I saw it over in the Shulei Pinchas and others, that maybe this is why the children have to go find the Afikoman, because children are generally happy, and they don't have lives that have hardships and bitterness. So they're the ones who find the Afikoman, because they're the ones that are able to see that life is actually fun and life has actually goodness to it, and I can actually hope for the end and yearn for the goodness. Whereas people are older, they're always focused on the broken piece in life. So it's the kid who finds the Afikoman to remind the adult that it's really there, that the goodness is actually there at the end. So you have to tell people this. We go through hardships. This is all life is. I get it. I'm with you. The Seder is your life. The Seder is your life. And I want you to understand that my life is also the Seder. We can get through this together. If we get through tonight, we can probably make it through life also, at least till next year. But that's the experience that they have. And also, there's another aspect, and that is, if we're talking about emunah, we have to understand what idol worship actually is, right? Mitchila ovdei avodah zarah. In the beginning, we were idol worshippers. Rav Melech Biderman has in his Haggadah, I think it's in Hebrew and the English one, he says in that Haggadah, he says that what that means is that mitchila, if all the bad things that happen with my life is mitchila, I'm focusing on as if like this is all these things, it's always now, then ovdei avodah zarah. But if I can live in life with an achshav, if I can live life with a now, as opposed to what I did back then and all the things that I made mistakes in back then, if I can live within the now, the achshav, kevenu amakum avodaso, Hashem brought me closer to Him. So you have two ways you can live your life. You can focus on all the things you did wrong and the ways you didn't make things, that's the mitchila, and you're over the avodah zarah, an idol worshiper. Or you can actually focus on the other aspect of your life and what's happening now. Where am I in life now? So let's see if we can focus on where I want to go, as opposed to where I've actually been, okay? And that's one idea. He says, also he presents the idea that avodah zarah means belief in something with limited power. Belief in God means unlimited power, and that Hashem can change anything. So maybe there's something in your life that you feel like is never going to change, but if you put your emunah in Hashem, that can actually change. And again, I don't think we're talking to people necessarily who have no belief in God, because that's going to be like a whole philosophical interchange. And you might want to take that approach, but you'll probably lose everybody else in the Seder. But as long as we have people that have a general belief in Hashem, then I think we can work in these areas. You can also explain elements of Hashgacha Pratis. If you have stories to share, how Hashem runs the world, how you see Hashem, there's no such thing as coincidence. It's fantastic stuff that you can give over to people, especially less from. We hear Hashgacha Pratis stories all the time. They don't. And you can give these things over. Just open any book today. Every book is about Hashgacha Pratis stories. So give it over. So, So we want to be able to develop that emuna within them. Developing emuna within them is going, it's a little bit hard, I would say, to do, but enable them to actually see Hashem within their life. Don't you remember when this happened? How about when your first child was born? Didn't you feel this spiritual experience? It's a question people ask sometimes at their Shabbos tables. When did you feel a sense of light upon you this week? Not a lightning of load, but when do you feel a sense of light, like something shone upon you this week? That's another way of saying, when did you feel Hashem do something for you? Or when did you feel that your neshama actually develop into something greater? When did you feel like you reach a higher level of experience, greater than your mundane experience? These are things you want to be able to give them in the world of emunah. And of course, if you can develop and say, look, Hashem is going to take us out of all of our hardships, just remind them this is a big deal. This is a big deal. Lastly, I want to give you is the power of prayer. The power of prayer, we saw some of the stickers that you can actually use for the power of prayer. But you explain to them what prayer means. And they say, no, I don't pray. I've had many people that come to me, Rabbi, I need you to pray for me. I said, I'll pray for you if you pray for you. I'll be happy to pray for you if you do pray for yourself. No, Rabbi, you don't understand. I'm not very religious. I said, that's very nice. If you want me to pray for you, I'd be happy to pray for you, but you need to pray for yourself. But Rabbi, I don't know how to pray. Whatever words you have, that's a tefillah you can actually use. So tell people, put a prayer in your own words. And you tell them you can pray for almost anything. I remember I was at a bar mitzvah many years ago. So it must have been like 20-something years ago. And it was Rabbi Dov Brizak who was speaking, the bar mitzvah boy. And he said, look, when you're 12, 13 years old, when you're davening, you know what you have to daven for? When you're at the foul line taking a free throw shot, that's when you should be putting in a tefillah right there. Okay? Because Hashem can do anything for you. Don't just think prayer is something that happens in a shul or anything like that in a spiritual experience. It's every experience that you can do it. So do it whenever you can, whenever you have the opportunity. People don't realize that they can pray at all times. If you want happiness, finance, sports, you want your team to win. Many years ago when I was in yeshiva, I had these boys that I was learning with, and they had a whole fight. The fight that they had with me was a fight with them. Because they went to go see the Yankee playoffs, and it was like at 4 o'clock in the morning, because they were in Israel. And they rented a hotel room just to watch the Yankee playoffs. And one boy was sitting in the corner saying Tehillim because they were down. So he was saying Tehillim. Now this boy never made it to shul. He never came to davening. But this day was his day to shine in tefillah. And he was saying Tehillim. He was almost crying. And the Tehillim that he was saying for the Yankees, he was in so much pain. And they came back the next day, and they sat down with me at a vod that we had. And the other boy was like, this is the most ridiculous thing. This kid was sitting here crying with Tehillim for the Yankees. He doesn't show up to davening ever. And tonight was the night that he sat there davening for the Yankees. And I said, that's amazing. That is remarkable. He understands that Hashem is the one who can answer all of his tefillos. You tell people, you can pray for anything. A lot of people don't realize that, and you take that, you recognize that it works. And this is great, right here. At that moment, if you're getting into the world of prayer, where people say, you know what? I want to let you know something. I actually pray for you. I pray for you, not like in a mean way, like I pray that you do tshuva, not like I pray for you that you can finally do something with your life, but I'm going to give you a prayer right now, and I'm going to give you a blessing right now. And I want to give you a blessing. You should be blessed to have a happy life, a life full of meaning and parnasa. People appreciate when you can actually give them bracha. And I'm going to pray for you. If you can take that and give it over to a person who doesn't necessarily have that, they feel like you know you're doing something for them. And then you can end this whole thing and say, you know what, everybody? Why don't we do a communal prayer? You know, someone give me something you want to share. I want to pray that any hardships you have in life should all have a positive ending. Let's pray for the captives. Let's pray for the soldiers. Today, now, these people are into tefillah a lot more because things are happening in Israel. In their own personal lives, they don't necessarily pray. But when they hear about things that are happening in Israel, they'll oftentimes be moved towards tefillah. But now you can actually take your Seder and get people to actually be interested in tefillah. Okay? So this is the goal that we have is we are trying to develop emunah for people. It's a slow process to develop emunah. I didn't focus as much on emunah over here, but it was more to be able to have the focus and people understanding what the Seder is actually about. It is a microcosm of what their life is actually about. So again, where we want to be able to be is to give over some stories and lessons of Emunah, to be able to give over the personal belief that you have in that other person or they have in themselves, and that's again on some of the sticker cards you have. To be able to recognize compassion within their lives, and those are some of the initial questions I actually gave you, where you see Hashem's compassion within you in your life, you know, where you can increase your compassion towards others, and help people actually start to appreciate the Judaism, the Yiddishkeit that they actually have. If you can ask questions to them, again, I gave you some leading questions that you actually have over here, then I think it'll actually make a huge impact on people within their Siddurim. Again, if they can see positivity, hardships, transformations within their lives, they can understand a little bit what idol worship is about, but ultimately they see the element of tefillah, that prayer actually works. I think this can help people. Take any questions. Any comments?
Questions for is there also suggesting that throughout the Seder during that question?
I think it's throughout the Seder. Throughout the Seder. It's always a good time. But I always have a famous line that the famous line is like this: whenever the Seder is going long, and then this is like kind of like that feeling that people say, oh, I'd like to say a Dvar Torah on, you know, the Arba Banim. You're like, okay, but it's like the 12th one you've just shared in Russia. Can we go on, right? So you have the line that people say, why don't you save it for the meal, right? So my analogy of that is always the equivalent of, you know what? I think we should just be friends. Okay? I think we should just be friends. You know, it's like, save it for the meal when I'm actually not focused and I'm eating, so you can just do your thing, and we'll just go on in our separate ways in life. So if you're going to do it at the meal, you have to do it in such a way where you're not getting people to speak, right? Because they don't want to talk right now. They want to eat, right? They want to eat. So you have to just throw it at different times. You might also take some of these cards, put it under people's plates, and don't let them know about it. So like at some point you go, oh, you mind lifting up your plate to see what you have over there? Okay, you might take some of these leading questions that I gave you or these card questions and put it in different places. Okay, you can also take a set of dice and roll it and get a number and say, okay, pick a card. Let's do it like this. So you can actually relate it to any one of these things. I think it should be smattered and scattered throughout the entire experience. By the end, after the meal, people aren't so into it at this point. But then you're already talking about praising Hashem. So let's get people to share something you want to praise Hashem for. Okay, let's do that. In our second half of the meal is focusing on praise. It's not just praising Hashem. The second half of the meal is all about the future. Let's feel it for the future, which is why Shavuot HaMaskal is the first thing that we have. Pour out your wrath on the enemies. Not about the past, about the future. So now let's develop ourselves. What do you want in your life for the future? That's when you can have those actual guided questions later on. Does that make sense? Yeah?
What's the process of
I mean, when you're doing the psukim and things like that? So it depends. They do want to move. My wife is always my stopwatch. She's like always like, you got to go, right? She'll always tell me like when I have to move. There are a few different things that I implemented. First of all, there's the famous, I think it's mostly Hasidish, but the word on Vanitza, we cried out to Hashem, famous idea that that everyone should choose one thing that they want to cry out to. That's a major segula for you to be saved from that particular thing. I think everyone should get together and choose one item that they want to cry out for and then cry out for that. We did it, you know, I tried implementing some things, but I think a lot of those things have to be moved a lot quicker when you go through a lot of those psukim. We're just going to like squirt blood everywhere. It's like, it's not, people just want to move at those psukim, you know? You know, like we used to have a thing that when we get to that Vayir Mitzrayma, so we had like a wall or like a, you know, or like a street over here, and we'd have different people trying to go down the elevator, escalator type of thing. That's just to make it fun. That's like, it's not going to move the Seder. You got to move at those parts. You have to move, and I think some of those ideas you can share, you know, as we get closer to the meal. What happens is people get stuck on the Arba Banim and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. They get stuck on those things. And like that became like a primary focus of the meal. And it's like, no, that's really not what it is. You have to move forward from that. And the main part is like the hardest parts. So I think if you look through those psukim you'll be able to pull out questions from this psukim. What does it mean that they increased? Like, what's that about? Like, you know, because of the fact that they focused on their clothing or whatever, why is it they increased? What is assimilation like today? Things like that. So, you know, we can bring it more practical to people to understand how these things are, but you have to really prepare those things ahead of time. You got to open a Haggadah ahead of time and say, like, okay, how does this relate to people in their lives today? That's how we do it. But at the end of the day, I think you still have to move to those psukim because people are not interested. And especially, always found this, same thing in class. When you get somebody to read, all right, you think you're doing a service for people. You get somebody to read, and you go, John, why don't you read the next paragraph? And then he reads, and he opens the Haggadah, and he's reading in this, like, old English. For the Lord has said that when you have taken me out of whatever, and everyone's sitting there going, like, right? Like, the only thing they're waiting for is for them to read. But they don't like when someone else reads. I find that in class also, when people are reading, everyone else falls asleep. It's only for the person who's actually reading itself. So it doesn't actually create that interaction for them. Yeah, meaning I'll read out loud. I'll read out loud, and I'll zip as I read out loud for some of these things. And if I have something I want to share, if someone else has to share, okay, share it. But, a lot of people are just going to, like, kind of listen. But I don't take it for myself as, like, I'm the leader of the Seder. Like, I have to read through every line. I've seen people who go through the Siddurim, and it's a painful experience when they're just reading through and people are just like, when does this part end? Like, when do we get something else? So you don't want it to be just like a poetry reading where people are just reading through this whole thing. You'd have to, like, extrapolate certain things from it to be able to give it to them. And then I'll drop in the middle and go, okay, choose a card. We need to do this. Okay, grab this, you know? Or, like, I was thinking about this anyway. You know, we have less than a kazayas for karpas, right? Why do we have less than a kazayas for karpas? Because of the fact that we don't have to have a bracha achron. That's our biggest issue. But people are hungry. So 10 minutes later, give them another half a karpas, right? Let them have that. We used to have marshmallow shooters that we'd shoot around that we'd make them make a bracha. Originally it was going to be used for barad, for hail, but then we realized that people are hungry. So we just shot marshmallows at people throughout the Seder. So they can actually eat something, you know? So when they're looking forward to something actually happening, then it's like, and especially when it's randomized, they can do it. If you're able to create a spin the wheel thing and do it, like, let them spin the wheel and, like, let's choose something. Choose a game. Hey, you just won this. Wow, you just won an extra piece of chicken, right? Or you got yourself two marshmallows, whatever it may be. But that'll get it actually moving during that place. Especially if you have an apprentice or an accomplice, then you could read and have somebody else actually do this. Oh, we're out spinning the wheel right now while Abba's doing this, we have to spin the wheel. And then and they can choose something that actually happens over there. So it can still move while other people are actually getting excited for certain things. When it comes to Afikoman, we hide it. I hide it, and then I give my kids clues. So that takes them a while to do because the clues are usually mostly impossible. But at least they're on the
toes. Read through every word of that guy.
Basically.
And
some people do it on their own. Yeah. But, you know, I wanna read the whole Haggadah. You know, I do want to say the whole Haggadah, but it's not going to be everyone quiet as I read now the next paragraph because we'll lose them, a lot of them, in those scenarios. And my Seder still ends late, right? But the idea is that you want to actually have it so it's like a real experience that people actually have, you know? Yeah.
Okay, so I
don't
have a question, but can I share
something
with the
cool
that I heard last August?
Okay. That was a question,
okay. Okay, so these places that we mentioned. So I remember last week, someone asked, like, well, when they crying out for 200 and something years, like, why did Hashem just answer them now?
Mm-hmm.
So what they saw, and I forgot the source, is that, but for me, it was the one that said it. So she was saying that at that point in their lives, the tzaras were so bad that they were like, okay, forget our own pain, but Hashem, we can't stand that our neighbor is going through this, or our friend is going through this.
Very nice, very nice. Okay, for those that didn't hear it online, the idea is that from Frumi Wiener, right? The idea behind it is that they cried out to Hashem For what purpose? Because it was no longer about their own initial, their own pain. It was about the pain that they recognized that other people were going through. They couldn't handle the fact that they saw other people's pain, and that's what brought the geula. So you can also present that idea to them. Let's think about someone else, what they're going through, and actually put in a prayer for them. Throughout the whole Seder. I think you go throughout the whole Seder. Really, primarily, it's really about the first half of the Seder. You sit and dwell on the hardships that they're going through. And you go, let's take a moment to think about the families that are suffering in Eretz Yisrael now because they're hostages, either the hostages themselves or their families. Or what about the people that are fighting there right now? Or what about the government taking away yeshiva funding or whatever the thing may be? So whatever side you are on the spectrum of everything. But there's hardships that everyone's going through, right? And then the second half, once you have the meal, is let's talk about the prayer of what we want to actually happen. Because as we said, the Seder is split into two. It's about hardships and freedom. The second half of the Seder is about the future of what we want to we want from Hashem to be able to do. Shvoch hamaschal hagayim, take your wrath out upon the other nations. So the first half we can say, you know what? Our focus is also going to be thinking about what people are going through. When we get to the second half, we are putting in prayers and focusing on Hashem saving us and seeing that the redemption is right by our foot, right by our doorstep. That's what we're going to be able to see. So you can split it. So people aren't going to harp on one and the other. And those people that want to leave after the meal, you say, wait, please don't leave. Because right after the meal, we're going to be focusing on praying for all those people that we were concerned with before. We want them to be able to receive our prayers. So we're asking you actually to stay through the whole experience. Okay, we'll stop over here. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining us.